You might notice that I'm in a new location. This looks a little different. And Van is here with me this morning because we have something different that's planned today. So what is going on?
Well, good morning, church. One of the reasons we're here, we were thinking about being outside, but it's raining on Friday. It may be beautiful on Sunday. We don't know, but it's good to be here with everyone. And listen, I want to let you know, for the last several weeks, we have been planning on launching a really exciting summer series. It was called The Great Treasure Hunt. It was about the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 13:44, it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's buried in a field. And it goes on to tell a story about that. And we were going to kind of unpack that and look at what the treasure is and what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And we were going to take the summer to look for that treasure and go on this hunt. And so we were really excited to do that and have some fun as we did it. And so I know, Cheryl, we had some activities planned
as
well.
Yeah, we had tons of activities about going on treasure hunts, watching movies, having dialogues, being able to just connect, because we really thought the biggest concern right now is getting us connected as a community and sort of, waylaying our boredom. But in the events of the past couple of weeks, our eyes have been opened. I think our hearts have been really tugged. And I think you and I both have been talking about this deeper thing that God is doing in us. And we need to sort of focus on that. It's changed our perspective, changed our mind, not just the corona pandemic, but this whole racial violence thing is stirring something up in us, I think.
Absolutely. You know, this last couple of weeks, I heard it said there were actually three major things that have hit us. And there's the coronavirus, there's the economic issues, and then to have the protest and to have the just racism, which has been a part of really a systemic part of life as we know it. And it has finally kind of come to the surface, and where people are saying, you know, it's time to put an end to this. This is not acceptable anymore. And so, God willing, you know, we will be back talking about the kingdom of heaven, because we do need to know what the kingdom of heaven is about. Right now, we do have we have people that are out in the street that are protesting, that are basically saying we need a different kind of an arrangement. We need a different type of a kingdom. The problem that we have is that we don't know what it is that we need. What we find is that we don't know how to unravel generations of systemic and institutionalized racism. These kind of issues that have been handed down. We don't know how to take away those and unpack those layers and layers of policies and of training, of people being trained into perspectives and self-identities and identities of others. And we have no idea how to unpack that. And so even when we do go at this thing and we come and we can burn the whole thing down, but what we've seen from history is that all we do is we just raise it back up in a different form. Different people in charge, different people with power, but the same root kind of issues. And so if there was ever a time that we need to know about what is the kingdom of heaven, it's now. It's now when we need to see a kingdom that's not of this earth. We need to see what is this kingdom, and we need to discover what is this kingdom that comes from heaven, that comes from a different source, that comes from a different place.
So could you explain more about what is this kingdom of heaven?
Yeah, we were going to get into this. Again, today we're going to be doing something a little bit different because we're not going to be getting into a full-fledged sermon. We're going to be spending some time doing the work of the kingdom together as a congregation. And so, again, sometimes we see people kind of drop off at different points in our service on Sundays. But I would really ask that you would stick with us and stay with us so that together we can be doing the work of the kingdom in prayer today. And but to give us some background, what is this kingdom of heaven? Well, first, we see that this is a kingdom that is from heaven. And so it's not from this earth. What we find is that this kingdom doesn't use the world's tactics, in the sense that it doesn't try and use power, it doesn't try and use violence to accomplish its ends. It is not using the world's motivations, and so it doesn't come from a fear kind of a stance. It doesn't come from a greed stance or this scarcity stance that we tend to operate from, where we try to gather. We find that this is a very generous kingdom. And the third thing is that it doesn't operate based on the world's goals. And so it is not just more for me at whatever the cost, because this really is, based on all those other things, this is where the kingdom of this world tends to go. Instead, we find in Scripture that this kingdom is about a kingdom that shows God's character, God's heart in its fullness. And so it's about love. It is about generosity. It's about forgiveness. It's about confidence in God's triumph. So it's about faith. It's confidence in God's triumph, even in the face of death, in the face of economic collapse, in the face of injustice. It is confidence that God's heart and God's kingdom will triumph. And so it's also a kingdom that risks all for the sake of another. Mm-hmm. And instead of protecting oneself, it risks for the sake of another in terms of peace and humility, grace, forgiveness. We also find that, secondly, this is a kingdom of small beginnings. Jesus talked about it, it's like a seed. It's like a little bit of yeast that you put in a big lump of dough. The kingdom of heaven is like you have to be like a child to receive it. You have to be born anew and become almost like an infant again, become small again in order to receive it. And so it's this, it starts with random acts of kindness. It starts with those unseen acts of courage and of bravery. It starts with conversations that take place behind closed doors. So it starts with these hidden things. It starts with prayers that begin not on street corners, but in closets. It starts with acts that where your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand's doing. That's how little you're seeking attention for them. These are the things that God says, that Jesus has said, brings in his kingdom. It's not the massive movements. It may grow. In fact, he says, it grows into a massive movement. But it doesn't begin there. It begins in these very personal and very, and it keeps that kind of personal and that very intimate kind of a nature to it, because that's the heart of God. God meets us one-on-one. God wishes for us to love others one-on-one first, and then to love masses one by one by one. The third thing is that we find that Jesus never flinches at saying this. The kingdom of heaven is powerful. It's powerful in a very different way, but it is unstoppable. Yeah. It is relentless. It perseveres. It outlasts. Mm-hmm. It is eternal. And so the kingdom of heaven is very powerful, even when death threatens it. When Jesus, you know, he was not afraid to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. He didn't relish the thought of going to the cross, but he wasn't afraid of it because he knew that even in the face of death, he could walk right through it, come out the other side, and bring life even at a greater, at a higher level than we had known it, in the blessing of God. So the weapons of this kingdom are love, mm-hmm. our perseverance, our gentleness, our faithfulness, are this persistence and our self-sacrifice, our sacrifice and generosity even for another at the cost of your own. And so a different kind of kingdom. But those three things, I think, identify this kingdom that Jesus was bringing in. He inaugurated it. He handed it to the church. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost. And Pentecost is when the Spirit came down to empower us to, again, just continue the works and the ministry of Jesus in bringing in the works of the kingdom.
Sort of goes back to our discipline of hope. Yes. This takes a lot of hope. I mean, this takes that discipline of keep pursuing hope and keep pursuing God in prayer, keep pursuing. I mean, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's interesting how your sermons keep piling on us so that we keep getting deeper.
Well, I think, you know, we look at that, one of the hardest things too, because the weight of discipleship, it is, it's a very costly journey. Yeah. And in this parable, even in Matthew 13, Jesus says, the person who found this treasure that was in the field, it cost them everything. They had to go out and sell everything in order to purchase this field so that they might obtain this treasure. I think the other hard part about this journey is that the kingdom, whenever you find a treasure that's in a field, the silver is tarnished, so you don't always see it for what it is. It's covered with dirt. It's covered with just kind of the muck and the mire and the of the surrounding land. And so, in that, I think we see the kingdom of heaven in that way as well. We see the kingdom of heaven in its kind of its covered form, its buried form. And so the kingdom of heaven is, Jesus said, you know, he had brought it in. It's here. The Holy Spirit is here. But often we see him kind of cluttered with personal agenda. We see him cluttered with political agenda. We see him cluttered with trying to marry the methods and the violence of this world with bringing in the kingdom of heaven. And so we've seen these poor marriages and collaborations and these things that tarnish, actually, the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. And one of the reasons that we try to buy the field is so that we can actually pull the treasure out of it to clean it up, that it might be seen for the treasure that it is. But in this time, we see, you know, we're seeing God's kingdom at work, his because we see his people out there in the midst of kind of what's going on, but we do see it cluttered up. I don't like getting political, but sometimes you see pictures that are like the epitome of what we're talking about. And I think the day that the president walked out and cleared the streets with tear gas and with rubber bullets so that he could go take a picture with a Bible in front of a church that offended even the pastor of that church, it was like, this is the kingdom of God in its more kind of covered, cluttered form. Yeah. Because there we saw these two images smashed together and just in paradox to one another, in complete dichotomy of what the other stood for. But I think we see this on a daily basis now. You know, I've been thinking about like these protests recently. And in these protests, we see, you know, protests often will rise out of prayer, or they'll rise out of the cry of someone's heart for justice. And so they'll rise out, they'll almost become a prayer. And we see some of that. We also see these protests that have risen out of people who have been on their knees for decades. We see a people who has been on their knees for generations and praying for justice, and this becomes a voice to that prayer. But we also have those who are just coming in with a more cluttered version of it, and they're bringing almost the protest without the heart, and we see them taking advantage of it for their own means or their own ends. And you know, for us, the call is to make sure that whatever the prayer is, however we voice it, that it really does become this prayer that we're going to be praying later. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is where our action comes from. That's where we see it in so many. And I think that's where we're seeing some of the most kind of beautiful images that are happening in our world right now, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's the economic instability, whether it is in this kind of dismantling of these institutional kind of the racism, the bigotry, the violence that's buried into whether it's our administrations or our departments that are supposed to be protective, and we're just seeing this prayer that's rising up, and making sure that we become a part of that prayer for the kingdom of heaven, that we don't just become a part of the violence that spills out sometimes onto the streets. And I think that's a challenge. The kingdom is here to be found. It is valuable. It is beautiful. The kingdom of heaven is a gift to us from God, a gift of his grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We keep messing it up every time it gets kind of handed into our hands. But God keeps not just offering it back, but leading in establishing that, and establishing that through his offer. And so I think we need to try and enter into that and continue to pursue that as we think about what would it mean to show the world the kingdom of heaven and its glory. How do we discover this kingdom? That's a pursuit we still need to we need to keep up, and we want to continue that this summer.
So in this parable, I know you and I have been talking an awful lot about this, and it got my sort of brain, you know, moving about what it took for this guy to actually find a treasure. There was no X, you know, spray painted on the ground. There was no, treasure built here. They didn't even have, you know, metal detectors. So how did this guy find this treasure? And I was thinking, you know, he was probably an everyday worker who the owner said, go out and work in this field. And there you are. And he's tilling the soil and he's pulling up the weeds and he's making it all ready for somebody else's planting and somebody else's crop. And it's this toil that he's doing in his everyday life that he happens to notice there's a treasure here. Right. And so how does he actually go about that? Well, it took all this sweat equity to get him to the point that he was paying attention to what God was putting in front of him, right? And it's not, yes, we're going on our daily life and you can go with blinders and have all the other, I mean, Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff like blinding you and like pulling you in different places. But this guy actually was minding his own business and noticed this treasure and then stopped and said, what am I gonna do? What do I have to do to actually get this treasure? Mm-hmm. And so I found that really, really important. I also think one of the things that when we're doing discipleship, we always use Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It's like, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe, right? And everybody goes, oh, repent, it means sin. No, it's like turn. Turn from the way that you think this works. And you say this all the time. Your best thinking hasn't gotten us any farther, right? Right. And so sometimes my best thinking, I'm heading in this direction. God's like, nope, I want you to turn in another direction because your best thinking is not my thinking, right? So the kingdom of God, when we start to align ourselves with God's thinking, it starts to come into more and more focus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the work of excavation. It's the work of, digging into the soil, allowing God to plant something in you and allowing it to be hidden long enough and give it the room and the space for God to say, hey, there's something I'm going to birth in you or grow in you or change in you. And sometimes that's what that treasure is. We're looking for a treasure, but it takes work. Yeah. Like we want it instantaneous. I want to be fixed right away. And sometimes I've been praying for things for years and it takes years for sometimes the fulfillment of that happening or a change in my heart. You know, like have you ever been angry at somebody and you're like, I'm angry. And then as you pray, as you sort of hide that in some ways with God, you notice there's an easing of that. And so I think sometimes this is an important thing. I also noticed that one of the things that we're going to do today is do the Lord's Prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer. And when I say do the Lord's Prayer, I mean enter in a way that sort of unleashes the stuff that we've been holding on to. Because I know for me, when I see all this stuff and I, people say, how are you reacting? Sometimes I actually have to say, I have to look for this in me first. Mm-hmm. Am I racist? Am I violent? Am I like what my reactions would be? And I've got to do the work of excavating for myself so that when I actually minister to somebody else, that, God comes out of that. So, but I was noticing in Matthew before this is that, Jesus is telling them when you fast, when you give, when you pray, do it in secret. There's almost like this hiddenness that has to happen for the kingdom of God to come out. Yeah. So we've got lots of work to do this morning. So let's get to it.
Yeah, I love that what you were saying. There's so much that's packed in there about both, here's this guy in this field that is he's one of the poor. He's one of the meek. He doesn't own the field, but he's doing the work. And how many people related to that in that day. And where Jesus came and he said, blessed are the poor because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right. But it was in the everyday work And sometimes we expect to find God's, you know, kingdom in these massive kind of experiences rather than in that everyday work. And so to do this everyday work, he said regularly, go into your closet and do the work of prayer, do the work of, you know, these things that God is actually, that he's calling us to be his people. So yeah, let's do the work. So this morning, what we want to do is we're going to be praying through the Lord's Prayer. And how we're going to do this is I'm going to take the first line of the prayer, and then I will say it, and then you will repeat it. We're going to pray through the whole prayer. But once you've repeated that, I'm going to continue then with a prayer that kind of unpacks just that piece. And then I'm going to offer, and I'm going to give you some time, just a couple of, just a little bit of time. I was about to say a couple of minutes, but that's usually deadly for people. Right, right. But we'll give you some time to just express your prayers surrounding that one piece. And then Cheryl will take the next line and give you time to repeat it. And then she'll unpack that piece and then give you time to lift up your prayers around that piece. So together we will be praying through the Lord's Prayer, but not just going through the lines, really thinking about what it means, how it really zeroes in on the things that we see that are happening right now, and how we can bring this prayer and do this kingdom work together. So let's just pray together. This is the prayer that Jesus, when he was approached by his disciples, and they said, teach us how to pray. This is what he taught them. Our Father in heaven.
Our Father in heaven.
Our Father. Not my Father. Not your Father, not their Father, not someone else's Father, our Father. Our Father, our Abba, our Daddy. Our Daddy who loves us equally, whose heart follows us, who hears each of our prayers and cares for each of our burdens. He's not concerned for this one over the other. He is not the one who is on my side or for my agenda. He is a Father. He is our Father who loves me dearly, who feels for me deeply, who is wiser than to be caught up in all of my drama, all of my misperceptions, all of my misguesses and misdiagnosis. He's wiser than to be caught up in the chaos of my life and the fear. No, he's my Father, but he is our Father. And he is our Father who is in heaven. Far above all this, resources beyond all this, able to do beyond all that we could ask or even imagine. He has a plan beyond our comprehension. Our Father who is in heaven. Take time to voice your prayers now, surrounding just who God is as our Father, the Father of all of us. He hears your prayers, but he's hearing the prayers of so many who are lifting up prayers even at this moment. Our Father, let's lift up our prayers together.
Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name.
Again, we are back to God's name, to your name. Father, be our shepherd, our provider, our peace. God, you are present with us. Show us your name. Show us how you are unlike any other. You know the needs before us. You have walked in a way on this earth so that you could experience what it's like to be human, and we can come to you, Father, and know that you are with us. And so we ask you to provide deliverance before we even get there, and we ask you for salvation before we even knew it, we needed it. You knew to plant a treasure for us before we even could have imagined a field. So church, take some time to voice your request and praise beyond the promise of his name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Father, we are watching the kingdoms of this earth strain and writhe and toil. We think of Psalm 2 where they rise up, they try and revolt and break chains from themselves. And Father, we are seeing the problems of century-old struggles and systemic and institutionally embedded issues that are erupting often without answers, without a view for where to go, what to do. We know that there's something there that needs to be dealt with, but we're not sure we have the tools. We're not sure we have the insight to deal with it well. It seems that every time that we fix one problem, that we make 10 more. Father, the violent seek to destroy. The angry cry out for justice. The oppressed are crying out to you. The innocent are dying in the streets. In Isaiah, we remember where it says that the righteous die and no one even thinks of it. No one even speaks of it. Father, we need your kingdom. We need your will to be done on earth in the same way, with the same purity and the same intention and the same relentlessness as it is in heaven. So let's take time now to voice our prayers, our cries for justice, for compassion to be seen on this earth, for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
God, you know, people are still out of jobs. Not everything has returned back to normal, nor will everything turn back to normal. And we know that the idea of our daily bread is fearful for some because they don't know where their next meal is coming from. We still have poor among us, and they will remain poor. Part of what we're seeing right now in the world is class and poverty and education and injustice all coming together. And we say, well, it's just one issue. No, it's not. It's all these issues. And it's because people have needs and they haven't been met. And so, God, we ask you for this daily bread to provide for us what we need, not the fatted cow, not tons of extra resources, but the things that we just need, because we actually need only what you can provide for us. So this morning, church, take some time to voice your requests of your needs and the needs that you know of, those in your neighborhood, those of your family and friends, your coworkers. Voice them up to the Lord now.
Forgive us our sins.
Forgive us our sins.
Lord, have mercy on us. None of us are without guilt. We have sinned in the things that we have done. We've sinned in the things we have left undone. We've sinned in the ways that we have said things. We've sinned in the ways that we have not stood up and said anything. The judgments we have made of others, the words of cursing or condemnation that we have spoken that were not of your spirit. We've turned from you, sought other kingdoms and the comforts that they provide rather than your kingdom and the comfort that you provide, not just to us, but to others through us. Lord, have mercy on us. Let's take time together to voice our confessions and failure, for our failure to follow God, for our failure to reflect His heart, for our failure to live out and show His kingdom in the way that we live in this world and the way that we relate and interact with and show His compassion and His grace to others.
God, you have graciously extended forgiveness to us. And so we pray, as we forgive those who sin against us.
As we forgive those who sin against us.
You know, we have petty and justifiable grudges, but Father, they have become roots of bitterness and hardened in us as we seek revenge, causing pain in others. We have not taken up our cross. We have not chosen to follow you and absorb the pain and suffering of this world, rather than continue and pass it along. God, some of this work that we're talking about, excavating and getting into that field, is saying that I would rather take that pain and endure that the cross in order to save it from another person, in order to relieve the pain and suffering from others. And most of the time, this kingdom that we're involved with in the world, it tells us just to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves. And yet, you know, what we've seen is people standing out there and saying, I'm going to try to absorb some of your pain and take less and do less and be silent in ways I need to be silent and speak up in ways I need to speak up, because it's not about me. It's about another. And God, this is when you're calling us, love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And one of the best ways is to forgive others, is to extend the forgiveness that we have been given. So take your time this morning to voice your forgiveness of others who have wounded you.
Do not lead us into trials, but deliver us from evil.
Do not lead us into trials, but deliver us from evil.
Father, save us from this destruction, this violence, this threat that surrounds us, and not just us, but that is this threat that at this moment is affecting and is threatening every life on this planet. Father, deliver us from that evil and from that disruption, not by making things how they were, but by leading us into a better place than they have ever been. In this, Lord, we seek your kingdom. We seek the life that you intended. Our rescue from this evil is not just to be kept in the midst of it, in a different form of it. You have planned for our salvation. So, Father, bring in your salvation and deliver us. Do not lead us into places of conflict, but rather into peace. Let's take time together to voice our requests for the protection, the deliverance, not just for yourself, But for those around you, those that you see every day, those that you see on the news, those that you see throughout the world, those that you have heard about, let us lift up this prayer and pray and ask God to protect and to deliver.
This morning, as we go and turn our hearts towards communion, that remembrance of the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross, your body broken and your blood spilled. This is the ultimate act of this prayer. Your will be done against anything else that we could imagine or want for ourselves. And Jesus, you are the one that walked into this willingly and said, my Father's kingdom is more important and worth more that I can sell it all. So we finish this prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.